Recently, some people got to see the Northern Lights, even as far south as Calgary. That was fairly unusual. And people who saw it describe how beautiful this phenomenon is to behold. The psalmist today tells us that the heavens above have a kind of a speech. They are telling us something about the one who created them. Every day and every night, there is a majesty which is revealed to us as a kind of communication from the God who created those heavens. But nature, which is closer to us than the cosmos, can be seen as awesomely destructive as it is beautiful. Those who live in the lower mainland of British Columbia know this all too well, don't they? The power of nature speaks to us of death as well as life. Our awareness of death is a reminder that all is not beauty and perfection. This is the same with sin and with holiness. And yet our good news, the good news that we are preparing for during Advent, is that Jesus was born right into the middle of the chaos to redeem us, to call to us even more surely than do the heavens above. I have a nature calendar with pictures for every day, and some of those photos are of animals or mountains or seasons are so beautiful. This calendar for this year was given to me by a friend who died recently, a few months ago, during COVID time, kind of unexpectedly. I failed at my attempt to get him the anointing of the sick, which, had I been successful, would have been his last sacraments before his journey to meet Jesus. And I have to admit that I am a little angry about that, at myself, because I think, well, maybe I should have been able to do something for him, but also angry at the pandemic and the lockdown measures which prevented so beautiful a sacrament from being administered. But that's not the end of the story, because the good news has come and will continue to be proclaimed, which overcomes all loss and which dries all tears. From this ambo and this sanctuary and from all the holy places throughout the world, we hear the sacred scriptures proclaimed, which tell us of great and glorious things, but also the results of sin and death. I think a lot about how we proclaim our sacred scriptures. I think also about how we hear the word of God. At home in our prayer chair, we might read the passages, but at Mass or in any public liturgy, we never just read the scriptures. We proclaim them, because these scriptures have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we must proclaim them with faith that this is as true as the fact that Jesus Christ is God, who became human and lived among us and died for us and rose to new life to redeem us. The apostle, St. Andrew, whom we celebrate today, had a longing in his heart to hear something that would make a difference to his life. It's not in today's passage. It's in John's gospel about the calling of St. Andrew. He heard John the Baptist preach baptism for the repentance of sin. And he heard the words that had all the power of the natural world and the supernatural world joined together in one great proclamation of truth. It was likely problematic in his family, though. Andrew was off listening to speeches while his brother Peter was keeping the family fishing business going. But what a result of that conflict, if there was indeed a conflict. Because it was while he was listening to John the Baptist that Andrew met Jesus, who came for baptism, seeing him baptized by John and hearing him referred to as the Lamb of God. As a result of this proclamation and this hearing, Andrew also became the first disciple of Jesus. Today's passage from Matthew doesn't tell us what John's gospel does. It simply says that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and spoke to both Andrew and Peter, calling them to follow him. What a powerful voice to make them change their entire lives in a moment. Now, Jewish rabbis were normally chosen as mentors by interested students, not the other way around. But as often is the case, Jesus does things differently than others. He's not out for a stroll along the shore. He is preparing to bring the kingdom to humankind. This kingdom will be preached by those whom Jesus calls, first by Jesus, and then by those whom Jesus calls in the manner that he teaches them to do so. And so it is striking that they simply drop their nets and set out after the one who promises to make them fishers of men, or fishers of people, as it says. In today's passage from that most remarkable letter to the Romans, Paul emphasizes both internal conviction of the heart, but also public affirmation of what Christ has done for us. Salvation is offered only to those who call on the Lord. Paul knows of no other way to salvation, of participation in the covenant, for either Jews or Gentiles. God's word proclaimed has power. Confess with your lips, St. Paul says. So the key is both speaking and hearing. Hearing first and then speaking. But hearing in this case, in the scriptural sense, is never something passive that just happens to us, like listening to nice music, as beautiful as that can be. It is active and it requires the heart's participation and the speaking. The psalmist prays, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Well, the big problem for us is that the message from the world around us is that religion is a private matter. Do it if you want to, but keep it to yourself. How many times have you heard that? You have no right to impose it on others, either in your own relationships or in public. But that's not what the message of the cosmos is. It proclaims the glory of God without ceasing. It's also not what Andrew did, is it? He let the longing in his heart draw him to Jesus. Then he told his brother about it. And what a difference this has made, first to Peter, but also to the whole church. Every day now, as I turn my calendar from one day to the next, one beautiful nature image to the next, I pray that God will have called my friend David to himself, even without that sacrament of healing at the end of his life. And I'm sure that David will have answered the Lord, because I knew him, just as Andrew and Peter did. And it will make all the difference, just as it has for the whole church. Today, we are so grateful and we thank St. Andrew that he listened to his heart, that he received what John the Baptist proclaimed, that he recognized the Messiah, and most of all, that he did not keep this good news to himself. Praise God, who is good and who shares his blessed life with us today. Today, let us at least pray for someone that they will hear the good news, someone in our lives, and maybe even that we might be the footsteps coming to proclaim that good news.